Turn there if you will. Then we're going to preach tonight. Bubba. Bubba. Come here real fast. I need you to do me a favor. I'll come to you then. I need you to do me a favor real quick. Not up here. You don't have to get in front of everybody. I just need you to do something for me. I put him on the spot, made him nervous. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. How many of you are ready for Christmas? Anybody still have some shopping to do? I do. I have a lot to do, I think. My wife, she shops for everybody but herself, which is probably the right thing to do. But it'd be better if she did shop for herself, because it makes me nervous when I shop for her. I know we're pretty good, but sometimes I take chances I have before. And we don't do that anymore. Amen. No, she's easy to buy for. She's not bad. Luke chapter 2, 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Thanks, Andrew. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. I want to preach from that last little section there. There was no room for them in the inn. I want to talk to you about no vacancy. All right? No vacancy. You can be seated tonight. Have you ever been on a trip looking for a place to stay, and you saw that dreaded sign in neon lights? No vacancy. Anybody ever saw that sign before? I remember as a little kid, we would, this was before iPhones and smartphones and GPS and all that stuff. And so you kind of, sometimes when you were driving at night on a trip, you were taking a chance. Especially if you get to a place where there's some kind of a big event going on. It can be miles and miles and miles around in a circumference where every hotel is booked. And you're tired and weary, and man, no vacancy. No vacancy. A few years ago, or a couple years ago, when the Republican National Convention came to Cleveland, we had that problem finding rooms for people for our camp. Camp Blessing. You know, we usually put the speakers up in hotels, and the good rooms, good prices were taken, and everybody else, the nasty hotels, had upped their prices. And I mean, it was just a bad situation. I mean, you don't want to pay $200 a night for the Days Inn in Amherst, $500 a night for the Days Inn in Amherst, Roach City, I guess. I remember there have been times when I've wanted to see that sign at hotels. There was one time my grandpa was with us on the way to Florida, and he was like, "I'll pay for the rooms if we stop here." And so he's like, "Oh," my dad's like, "Okay, you know, no problem." And my grandpa wanted the cheapest room. So we found like Motel 7. That's somewhere between Motel 6 and Super 8. It's about $27.99 a night. We got there, great price, right? You get there, and the guy who comes out, I have no idea. I mean, he looked like Quasimodo. He goes and gets his towels out of a storage shed. We get into the room, and it's nasty. There's bugs. You can't even get inside the blankets. I mean, I was young. I was a young man. I didn't really care, but my sister, she slept on top of the covers. I mean, it was nasty. We could have used a no vacancy sign right there. But no vacancy, it means there is no room available here. And Joseph and Mary, they found themselves in a troubling situation, probably the most troubling situation you could ever be in, expecting a child, time to give birth, and you can't find a place to give birth. I mean, I've never been through that, but I don't want to go through that, okay? They were out-of-towners. There were thousands of other out-of-towners who had already got their rooms for the night. They're in a strange land. Mary, here she was, ready to be delivered. You know, that was probably a pretty stressful situation in Joseph's life. And it's a quick point in the story. If you blink, you'll miss it. We find that it's great. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's laid in a manger. But the reason is there was no room for them in the inn. That's all we get about that situation. And you know what? Out of that little sentence, that fragment of a sentence, we have deduced that that innkeeper is a bad person in the story. I mean, he could have been following the fire code. You know what I mean? Hey, I can't take three more. I'm sorry. And no matter how bad this is, I don't know. I don't know what the situation is. We don't even know how the conversation went down. Joseph and Mary, Joseph may not have even said a word to the innkeeper. We don't know. But the point is, and I'm going to go through this here and we're going to pray. But I want you to know, the first point of tonight's message is this. From the very beginning, people refused to make room for Jesus. There's a lot of people who have had a no vacancy sign on their hearts. And maybe not in their whole heart, but in portions of their heart, they have blocked Jesus out. You know, I don't know, maybe the innkeeper just didn't like the way Joseph and Mary looked, so he just sent them along and he said, hey, we don't really want your kind here. That might have been something he said. Yeah, you know, I've been in situations where I haven't been wanted before. One time, just happened a few months ago, me and Katie and the kids, we went down to Dayton and we went out to lunch with some of our friends. And you know, when we first got married, it was just me and Katie and our friends. They were a couple, and so we could go out to eat, no problem. The table for four is easy to find. But once you start having babies, things change. And now a table for four has grown to a table for 10. We need four kids' meals, two things to put car seats in, and a whole lot of napkins. You know what I'm saying? So we go to this restaurant. We finally decided on where to go. And me and Katie and I, we'd never been there. But they had been there, and they said, man, it's really good. We can go there, and it won't be that bad of a price. And so we get in there, and the hostess greets us. And I don't know if she realized that we had a huge party or what. After we told her we had 10, she realized that. And we looked around and we saw tables open, and she said, yeah, it's going to be an hour wait. And we tried to come up with a plan. We're like, hey, if you sit us here, the kids can sit here and we'll be right there next to them. No problem. No, we have to leave those open. It's going to be an hour wait. I don't know about you, but waiting for an hour with four kids and two more in car seats is no fun. So we went over to the restaurant across the street. We left our cars parked in their parking lot. No, I was nervous about it. I was like, man, they're going to tow us. But they didn't. And so we got to the other restaurant, and my friend, he calls the one we went before. He calls me, talks to the hostess. He's like, yeah, how long is it for a party of 10? You know, we're already seated down. We've ordered our drinks at this Mexican food place, and we're getting ready to eat there. But he's like, I'm going to call them and see how long, if I act like somebody else, see how long they're going to make us wait if we were just pretending that we were going to go there. So he calls. He says, yeah, I got a party for 10, and how long is that going to be? And they said 20 minutes. He was a little irate. So he hung up and he called back. He said, I need to talk to a manager. You know, we're supposed to be having a dinner, a conversation together, but man, he's dealing with this problem. It was funny. But we weren't wanted. And maybe that was the case at the end that night. The innkeeper just, maybe he was too full. Maybe he just didn't want them there. You know, if the right person had come along, I know he would have made room for them. But for these, he shut them out. You know, what's your reason tonight for shutting Jesus out of your life? What's your reason for shutting Jesus out of this portion of your life? Maybe you've kind of welcomed him into part of your heart, but there might be other areas you've not made Jesus feel welcome. You know, it's been that way since the beginning for Jesus. There's been no vacancy signs hanging on the hearts of men. And you know, it didn't just happen at his birth. It happened through his earthly ministry. You can read in Matthew chapter 13, 57 and 58 that they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there. Why? Because of their unbelief. Jesus wanted in, but they didn't want him there. John 1 and 10 tells us that he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. He came into his own and his own received him not. Jesus, at the very beginning, through his earthly ministry, he was not wanted. No vacancy. We can't have you here. And you know what? You can especially see it in our culture at Christmas time. I mean, you look around and there's been billboards put up by atheist groups that had the nativity scene. I remember reading about one a few years ago, and the nativity scene was there. The wise men were heading that way, and the atheists had put this sign up, and the text read, "Still a myth." I mean, that's pretty crazy. They don't want Jesus here. You go to certain stores and they don't tell you Merry Christmas. And I know they're trying to be politically correct and say Happy Holidays. And you know, I mean, if I tell you Happy Holidays, that might mean Christmas, New Year's, and Thanksgiving. But most people are trying to take that portion of the name of Christmas out. They're trying to keep him away. I mean, Christmas is too hard to write, so let's just put Xmas instead. You know, when you're changing that sign, Christmas takes up a lot of space. But we can't take Jesus out. He's got to be welcome here. And so ever since the beginning, all the way through his ministry, and even in our day, many hearts hang a sign that says no vacancy. And it's always been that way. No vacancy. My second point tonight is this. Not only has that been the way, it's been that way since the beginning, but I believe it's that way because people aren't really fully aware of who Jesus is. I mean, you know, I was thinking about this today, how you might know him and recognize him as the Savior who came to save your soul, and that's good, but he wants to be more than just that. He wants to be Lord of your life. He wants to be your healer. He wants to be your Father. And you know, some people, they might say, you know, I don't identify very well with the concept of a father. The only earthly father I've known hasn't treated me well. And so to know God as Father, I've got to let him into a portion of my heart that nobody's ever been allowed to before. And I can, if I'm not careful, I can cut him off in that area and not get to know him for who he really is. And when I do that, I put myself in danger of losing out with him. You know, if that innkeeper, if he had known who it was that was about to be born, he would have said, "Joseph, Mary, let me cast some other couple out, make room for you. The King of Kings is coming, and he's going to be born in my..." And you imagine how famous he would be? I mean, in the story, he would have been lifted up. This is the guy who made room for Jesus. But instead, he's a guy who couldn't turn the no off on the vacancy sign. You know, sometimes we go through life and we think we know what we want and we know what we need. I remember at one Christmas, I was about 10 or 11 years old, and I decided I was too old for toys, for Christmas gifts. And so I don't know why, but I was a big fan of the Dallas Cowboys at that time in my life. And so I found some blankets and some sheets and some curtains and these different decorations that had Dallas Cowboys on them in a Sears catalog. You know, with that big, thick one that they used to send out. And I went to my mom and I said, "Mom, I want this stuff for Christmas. Don't give me any toys. Just give me this stuff." And so she did that. And I was happy with what I got. But it wasn't really what I wanted. Because once we started going back to school, they said, "Okay, on this day, we want you to bring a toy that you got for Christmas." And I didn't have any toys to bring. I was like, I had a big, huge football that said Dallas Cowboys on it. And so I took that, and one of the teenagers grabbed it from me and, like, played with it. And I thought he was going to steal it. I mean, it was a bad situation. And I didn't understand. I mean, I was at a point in my life when I was kind of on the edge of growing up and not really. And what I thought I wanted wasn't really what I wanted. I didn't know. And that's the way a lot of people are in life. They're looking at this thing and that thing, trying to find fulfillment. They're trying to find what they think they're looking for, but only if they can learn how to see the baby in the manger. Amen. that Jesus came to be everything that we needed and everything that we ever will need. I thought those blankets and those curtains would bring me joy, but they didn't bring me joy that I once knew at Christmas when it came time for the gifts. But my mom understood that, and I got toys the next year a little bit, you know. But in this world, we look around and we try to find hope in this and that, and it lets us down. But if we only look in the things of this life, we're going to figure out that everything that brings us hope here it can dash our hopes as well, and we'll become miserable. But oh, if we could just look to Jesus, amen. If we could just learn to look to Jesus, not just in one area of our lives, but in every area. He's the only one who can fulfill us in every single need of our lives. Praise the Lord. He's the only one who can love us right and can treat us right and can heal us right. He's the only one. We've got to look to Him. And not hold up the no vacancy sign, but turn off the no. There was a man, he was given a testimony a few years ago at a church, and he was there. I was there, my family was there, and it was comical. He was a very loud and boisterous man. Pastor Jones, I believe, knows who he is. If I described him to him, he would know him. But he stood up one day and he started to testify about the year he had finally given his life to Jesus. And I was kind of laughing because I felt like he was trying to hijack the service. And he just was yelling and preachifying, you know, a little bit, but he was making a point. He was talking about how when he got saved that Christmas time, he said that tree and those gifts became smaller and smaller, but that baby in the manger seemed to get bigger and bigger and bigger. I mean, he was saying, I finally realized who I needed to make room for in my life. I had to make room for Jesus. Finally, the last point tonight is this: the Lord will go where room is made for Him. All right? The Lord will go where room is made for Him. Have you guys ever been to a place where you didn't feel welcome? Wave at me if you've been there. Feel like you're walking on eggshells. That's not very fun. It's really awkward. You know, Jesus, He could have been born in the inn, but there was no room made for Him there. So He went to the place where room was made, a humble stable, a hollowed out place in the side of a cave, or some place where a human didn't belong to stay. But He went there because that was where room was made. We sing that song, Joy to the World, and we say in that one verse, let every heart prepare Him room. That's one thing we've got to learn how to do in our lives, is make room for Jesus in every portion of our heart. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Guys, Jesus wants in to our lives. Jesus wants in, not to just one portion, but every portion. Jesus wants in there. And He made it clear that if there's going to be room made for Him, He must be the only one in residence there. We can't have Jesus in and the world in. We've got to only let Jesus in. But we've got to figure out a way to make room for Jesus. And I want to help you out with that tonight, if I can. If we want to make room for Jesus, sometimes we're going to have to rearrange some things. You know, we at our house, we kind of go big for Christmas a little bit, and we have a tree in almost every single room in our house. And in the living room, the dining room, the kitchen, upstairs in the kids' rooms, in the back porch and back patio outside, we got trees everywhere. We love Christmas. From the end of November to sometime in January, you can come to the Cruz's house and it'd be Christmas town. We love it. But in order for us to make room for everything, we have to do some rearranging. We have to move this couch over here, and that couch over there, and that seat over here. And you know what? When we do that, it exposes some things. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Somebody put that hot dog under the couch. I don't know. That didn't happen this year, but I mean, you find stuff that you're like, oh, I was looking for that, you know. We rearrange things and it exposes some dirt. It exposes some things that need cleaned up. It exposes some stuff that we just aren't proud of. But in order to make room for Christ in your heart, you have to rearrange some things in your life. And in the process of rearranging some things, it might be a little painful. and you might expose some hidden or some secret hurts and some broken spots or some sins that need His attention. Listen, that's a part of the process. You guys, when Jesus saves us, we're not perfect, okay? There's a process of sanctification. And when we begin to move some things around and say, okay, Lord, or God begins to point His finger on portions of our lives and says, hey, I need to be the God of that part of your life. I need You to give me control of that thing. And man, we kind of have to move our own pride, our own self-will out of the way and let God come in. And man, we begin to look at that and say, oh, I remember that was there. God, can You heal that? Lord, can You make that right? God, can You help me? You know, God will begin to even expose things Himself. Just a few weeks ago, I did something that I shouldn't have done, okay? And I was trying to pray, and God began to point on that thing that I'd done, and it was painful. And I had to go to the person and apologize. And I even told him I couldn't even pray through because I knew that what I did, what I said, it was in the wrong spirit, wrong attitude, and I'm sorry. But God was wanting to be in control again. And I had to make room for Jesus. And it exposed some things. You see, God has a way of bringing things into the light. And let me just kind of go along these lines. One thing that we need to rearrange, especially this time of year, is our focus. We've got to get back into the mode of worship. Amen. And when we do that, when we rearrange our focus and get our eyes off of this person, that person, this thing, and that thing, when we get our eyes back on Jesus, Psalm 24:7, I love what he says here. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. So I've got to lift my eyes and lift my heart and lift the doors that I've established and let Jesus come in the way He wants to. He is the King of glory. I've got to rearrange some things. Be willing to make some time and make some space for Jesus. Amen. And He'll come in and He'll do His work. Another thing you want to do to make room for Jesus is you might have to leave some things behind. The shepherds, they were in the fields keeping watch over their flocks by night. The angels came, told them exactly what they needed to do to find Jesus. And I don't know exactly what happened, but they immediately were like, let's go find this Savior. Let's leave this behind for a while. We'll come back and we'll figure things out, but let's go find Jesus. Let's leave some things behind. Another thing you're going to have to do, you want to make room for Jesus in every area of your life. You need to count the cost and be willing to pay it, just like those wise men did. They knew it was going to be a costly journey to go find Jesus, but they knew that this king that was going to be born was going to be worthy of anything that they could sacrifice and give to Him. So they pulled all their resources and they started out on their trek to find this Messiah or this king that they knew was going to be born. And they came and they paid Him a visit with worship and heartfelt, sincere worship. Praise the Lord. But how did they get there? They counted the cost and they paid the price. And if you want to make room for Jesus, the last thing here, truthfully come to the realization that you need Jesus in every area of your life. He's got to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords in your family, in your home, at your school, at your job. He's got to be God when you're at the dinner table, when you're out driving the truck, wherever you are. He's got to be the Lord of your life. And you've got to turn the no sign off. When that sign reads no vacancy, you got to turn no off and let Jesus come in. Let Him come in and fill that soul. Fill that void that's there. And not just to your heart, but everything that you do. And let me tell you, when you do let Him come in to every area, you'll begin to realize who He is to the fullest. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Sister Allison, Sister Katie, come tonight. You know, there's an elderly man in Corpus Christi. His name is Joe Louie. Joe, Brother Louie, as we know him, he's a veteran. He's almost 90 years old now. He's a widower. He has one daughter. He lives in a tiny little apartment. He's lived there for over 20 years. Brother Louie had a son many years ago, but his son died in a tragic car accident. And Brother Louie, I heard his testimony through someone else. He endured such pain and grief at that loss. And you know, if you have children, especially you fathers, you know there's a special bond with your firstborn son or with your sons. There's a special bond there. And he lost his son. And he said that he was in such hard grief and having such a hard time with that. And he needed to let God come in and heal him. And so while he was at church, he said he was praising the Lord. And the Lord began to give him a voice in his time of praise. And I didn't know that that's where his voice came from. Let me describe it to you. When I led worship at that church years ago, when the Spirit of God would start to move, you could hear an elder gentleman over in this section singing in tongues in the Spirit. Just off in his own little world. Everybody else be praising the Lord, doing their thing. But you could see and hear Brother Louis just a beautiful song of worship. And he said God had given him that voice during his time of grief, at the right time. And through that mode of worship, he experienced healing. See, here's the thing. Brother Louis could have shut God off in that area of his heart and gotten bitter. And said, God, you've been good through up to this point, but I lost my son, so I'm going to let myself sulk in this. And just question you, God, and not let you heal me. He could have said that. But instead, he opened up his heart in that area, and he let God bring in the healing process. And he found God to be healer, amen, in a way that he'd never known him before. Now, let me ask you this tonight. Are there areas in your heart where you've kind of hung up that no vacancy sign? Is there a portion of your life that you have expressed reluctancy to let Jesus control and be Lord? Stand with me if you will tonight. Some of you might be thinking about an area right now, and that's the part where you need Jesus the most. And tonight is a night of healing. If you allow Him to come in, lift up that door to your heart and let Jesus heal your heart. You know, when you do that, you'll get to know who Jesus is. I remember a couple years ago, and I've told you this before, but when my wife's grandparents were building a chapel on their property there in the hill country of Texas. And in this chapel, they have stained glass windows at the top. And they wanted to know if any of us had a name for God that we wanted to be placed up there in those stained glass windows. So each family could put in, you know, maybe an idea for a name. Some said Lord, some said Redeemer. If you go in there, you can find how each family has identified Christ. They've got to know Him. You know, when you open your heart to God, you get to know Him as author and finisher of your faith. You get to know Him as the bread of life. You get to know Him as the chain breaker. You get to know Jesus as the demonstrator of perfect love. You'll find that He's the eternal one, the one who favors the righteous. When you open up your heart to God in moments of grief, you find Him as God of all comfort. And the high tower that we can run into and be saved. And the healer the I am that I am, the just one, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the mighty warrior. Hallelujah. You'll find him as the never failing and never changing God. He's the omnipotent one, the Prince of Peace. He's the one who can quiet the enemy's works. He's the redeemer of your soul, the savior of the world, the truth that triumphs. When you open up your heart, every area, you'll find him unchallenged and unmatched. I mean, Jesus can do it all. He's victorious. You'll find him as a way maker. Hallelujah. So tonight, I want to challenge you. Open up every area of your heart and make room for Jesus. Make room for Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's all come and find us a place to pray around the front, making room for him. If you're lost this morning or tonight and you don't know who Jesus is, or maybe you're not really in tune with God the way you need to be, listen, he can be Savior and forgive you of all your sins and save your soul. You can find him tonight at this altar. If you need him to heal a portion of your life, let him be healer tonight. Hallelujah. Give it all to Jesus tonight. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have Lord, have